From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted to have you with us today. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues part two of a two-part message entitled, A Glimpse of the Glory of Christ. The text is Luke 9, verses 28 through 36, the account of our Lord's transfiguration. Christ's sufferings and death lead inevitably to glory, and His cross leads us to glory. First of all, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, Tony Blair, religious convert or pervert.
The British press has announced that ex-Prime Minister Tony Blair will officially leave the Church of England and become a Roman Catholic. Blair's wife is a Roman Catholic, and he had his children raised as Roman Catholics. It has long been expected that since he has attended Roman Catholic services with his wife and family for years, he would take the final step and join that church. Before he left office, Blair met with the Pope and told him of his intention to leave the Church of England and join the Church of Rome. According to the Roman Catholic weekly paper The Tablet, the ex-Prime Minister will be received into the Roman Catholic Church in a mass at the private chapel of Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, the Archbishop of Westminster. No doubt Rome will boast of yet another high-profile defection to her ranks. Blair is the latest of quite a number of people who have left Protestantism and entered Roman Catholicism. Of course, it should also be noted that there is a steady stream moving in the opposite direction. Priests, nuns, and laity leaving the soul-destroying darkness of the Roman system to enter into the light and liberty of the gospel of Christ. But, as I say, Rome will boast of Blair, and he may even become a voluble evangelist for the Vatican and seek to use his celebrity to lure others into the Roman fold. Others have done this, and Rome's most effective apologists are men, especially ministers, who were once Protestants but have repudiated their former faith in favour of Rome and her dogma. To be honest, I can't fault Tony Blair for leaving the Church of England. A more moribund, effete and spiritually useless denomination would be difficult to find. The Church of England is an amalgam of ritualists, rationalists, revisionists, those who want to reinterpret Christianity to make it the vehicle for a godless political, environmental and social agenda, as I say, ritualists, rationalists, revisionists, and evangelicals who are too weak to take their stand for God and get out of the apostasy of England's national church. So I don't fault Blair for leaving the Church of England. I do, however, fault him for converting to Rome. He's not doing this out of ignorance of the truth. At one time, I believe, he professed to be an evangelical. That is, he had at least a head knowledge of the doctrine of the gospel. I can't say how deeply he ever understood the truth of justification by faith in Christ's finished atonement and the imputation of Christ's righteousness as the only way of gaining acceptance with God. What I can say is that no man who has any regard for God's truth or the welfare of his own soul should embrace the Roman dogma of justification, because it lies under the clear condemnation of God, as given in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, and Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Any man who knows God's clear revelation in this subject and leaves it for Rome's evil perversion of it renders himself liable to the fierce judgment of God. Let him be accursed. I fear for the soul of Tony Blair, and for every other well-informed or instructed Protestant who turns his back on the gospel of free grace for Rome's degenerate dogma. Tony Blair and those who choose Roman darkness over gospel light are, theologically speaking, perverts, not converts. May God in mercy deliver Mr. Blair before it's forever too late. Perversion and perdition are never far apart.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Thank God Christ is showing us here the only righteousness that has glory acceptable to God is that which He has established through His life and through His death, witnessed by God in His resurrection. That's the glory of which the disciples caught a glimpse, a preview, and that's the glory I want you to realize today. What this says, in effect, is Christ is needed by every sinner who ever hopes to stand before God and gain acceptance. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me quote again Martin Lloyd-Jones's lovely title to a sermon on that particular verse, Acts 4 verse 12, No Second Name. No second name. There is only one name given by God, distributed by the gospel among men, to tell them whereby they must be saved. There's only one glory that God accepts, one righteousness that God accepts. The question is, how do I obtain that righteousness? Can I pay for it? No, I can't. Can I get it because of the intensity of my praying? No, I can't. Can I obtain it by any act of religious worship? No, I can't. I obtain it by the free gift of God, received by faith alone. God's wisdom is never more clearly seen in that faith alone clause in the gospel. Robs a man of all self-righteousness. If you're going to trust the merits of Christ, you first of all give up all other merit. If you're going to trust the name of Jesus, then you throw over every other name. If you're going to abandon yourself to the mercy of God in Christ, then you give up hope in every other direction. It is Christ and Christ alone. Now that is the great sum of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now we've got to proceed. It's interesting to note when it happened. When all these things happened. And I'll try to get through this simply and quickly, and then finish with why it happened. But when did it happen? Verse 23 says, after these sayings. These sayings were the sayings that the Lord Jesus had given to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi concerning his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and, this is very important, as we'll see as we go on, and they were sayings about the response that he demanded from men and women in the light of his sufferings, his death, his resurrection. Now, he had been speaking about these things, and the disciples were very upset. It's a wonderful thing when men think they know better than God. Here was the Son of God telling the disciples about the greatest events in history. The life, the death, the resurrection of the Son of God. And Peter immediately began to find fault and upbraid the Lord Jesus. Far be it from you, you're not going to go to the cross. Now there you've got an insight into the heart of man. And even when you're dealing with a good man like Peter, a man who had considerable spiritual insight, even at this stage, for he had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That by divine revelation. But when you look into the heart of any man, apart from special grace, man never wants the religion of the cross. Give us a salvation without blood. Give us a salvation without the sacrifice of Christ. Mr. Farr spoke about what was being taught, and more significantly, what was not being taught in most Presbyterian Sunday schools across America today. This is the reason for it. This is the reason for the great apostasy of the day in which we're living. It is a rejection of the old blood theology, the old doctrine of the substitutionary atonement rendered by Christ, apart from which there is no salvation. Men have taken religion and they've dressed it up in priests and popes and pastors and vestments and incense and you name it, they have done it. That's religion. And it can't save anybody. I want you to understand that. It's why the Lord Jesus was so vehement in his response to Peter. When Peter said, "No cross," immediately Christ put his finger on the source of that and he said, "Get thee behind me, Peter." No. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now that's blunt enough, is it not? Coming from the lips of the meek and mild Jesus Christ. Coming from the lips of the Son of God, who is truth incarnate without the shadow of error. He says, this is the doctrine of Satan. Anything that tries to get right with God or get people right with God apart from the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ is the voice of Satan. That's what Jesus is saying. Now they'd been through all that. And then Jesus said to them, "I'm going to rise again." They said, "What is this resurrection from the dead?" Immediately he went on, instead of explaining further, immediately he went on to make the point, and this is something we need to make today, that when I preach, and this was not just to the disciples, this was to the whole crowd of them, when I preach about my sufferings, my death, my resurrection, That demands a response from every man, and it's going to have a response from every man. In this, you can have no neutrality. Once you hear the name of Jesus, you're either for him or you're against him. Once you hear of the sufferings and death of Christ as the only way to heaven, you either receive it or you reject it. Once you hear of this worthy name, as his brother James called it, once you hear of this worthy name, you either embrace that name in faith and love, or you are ashamed of that name, to use the words that Jesus himself used. Now, these were the sayings, and immediately after these, 8 days after these sayings, he showed them this glimpse of his glory. You see, the great truth that the disciples on the mount got preached to them, took a little while yet for it to get into them, but what was being presented to them was that the sufferings of the Lord Jesus must be followed by glory. This is the difference between the death of Jesus Christ and the death of every other man. There have been many religions, many religious leaders, many who have been called religious geniuses, many founders of religions. One thing they all have in common: their death was exactly the same as your death or mine. They died, they got buried, they stayed dead, and their body, like John Brown's bones, lay mouldering in the grave. That's true of every religious, political leader in the history of the world. But when Christ died, the sufferings led to glory. Witnessed by what has been declared by some of the world's most eminent historians, not that it's true because they say it, it simply says they have some light. Declared by some of the world's leading jurists over the years, just on an evidentiary basis, looking at the evidence. The most impregnable fact in history. You have more proof of this than you have that George Washington was the first of your presidents, or that he ever had that meeting in the outhouse, or was it under a tree? You have more evidence of this. We used to say in Northern Ireland, the biggest historical event in the history of Northern Ireland was William, Prince of Orange, what we call King Billy crossing the Boyne, which actually is not in Northern Ireland at all. It just shows you how mixed up the Irish get. But that's where he won the battle that gave us the current British Constitution. We used to say there, we have more evidence, more proof, with more certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than that King Billy ever crossed the Boyne. Here's the difference between the death of Christ and the death of everyone else. His death was followed by glory. And this is what he was showing to his disciples in advance, giving them a preview of the glory. He had with him Moses and Elias, representatives of that mighty army of Old Testament witnesses. Peter later said in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 11, concerning these Old Testament prophets, that the Spirit of Christ was in them and testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's very good translation. But as Peter wrote it, Doesn't make great English, but it's a beautiful phrase. Testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the after these glory. My, what a glory that is. Here's Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration saying, look at the cross, but realize this cross leads to glory. Led Christ to glory, and thank God it leads everyone who trusts in Christ to glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.